Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
Welcome, everybody, to this session with Graham Brown. I'm delighted to have him with us today. We had a meeting on a Zoom meeting, I suppose it was about a few weeks ago, and was absolutely amazed by what Graham has come up with. So Graham's been meditating since he was 12. This idea of, or this concept of the reciprocal frame actually came to him in 1987. And you're going to see it presented here in a moment. And this structure, this physical structure, he's used this to build 47 buildings around the world. But that outer work has been reflected by an inner work. And that's what's so interesting about this, that it's the reciprocal frame isn't just a building structure, which in itself is fascinating and influences how people can experience themselves. It's also reflects a much deeper inner, I'll probably say a spiritual process, but I won't preempt things. So without further ado, we're going to go straight over to Graham. Thank you, Graham. Welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a lockdown presentation. Jonathan is with me, and it's his birthday. He has turned out on his birthday to help me do this, and I give my enormous thanks. So, my friends, what is this all about? What is the reciprocal frame? You probably need to know that first. And what is a journey of no distance? And how do the two of those things interweave? And how might they be useful? That is the most important thing, how they may be useful in each of our inner processes, our journey. So in this hour, I will take you on a little of the journey that has been with me whilst I have been with this structure. The session audaciously named Timeless Wisdom in structural form. It's amazing what you can carry in a linen bag. So let's begin. In my conversation with Adrian, together with this invitation to present at the embodiment conference, my first question really to myself was, well, who is embodying what? We don't have to go very far in today's world to find that which is clearly not life-supporting. It doesn't matter whether we look to our environment or to business world, to the governance or anything. We sense that things are not the way that they could be. And we're here at the Embodiment Conference, I think, looking for what it is we might embody that might help our world become that which we know it can be. So I'm actually going to use two structures this morning to try to illuminate what it is that we might be embodying, and also who or what is embodying what. Or whether that question is a nonsense. So, the question is, how can nine small sticks change our life? We'll come to that in a moment. Firstly, I have to introduce another structure. Let's see that. I don't know if you can see. There we are. This little guy is very, very old. Let's put him there. To really understand what this represents, we probably have to go back 3.8 billion years. If we went back 13.8 billion years, we arrive at the Big Bang, so our scientists tell us, where form arose from formlessness. This and that. Now, we look at that, and that perhaps immediately speaks to us of hierarchy, governance, all of these different aspects of our life today, the rich and the very, very poor, government opposition, right, wrong, good, bad, duality. Good, bad, and separated. Where can I put that? I'll put it over here. There. Good and bad, separated by the process of perception. Now, 3.8 billion years ago on planet Earth, life became animate, so we are led to believe. Small single cell creatures were aware of the other. Prior to that time, we're led to believe that there was no conscious connection, no awareness between this and that. 3.8 billion years ago, single cell creature, if you poke it, it responds. We have the beginning of this and that. That, of course, that exists in our world today, in every aspect of our life. We've only got to look at the British Parliament to see it played out big time. Same with Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, and virtually everywhere else we go. You poke me, I poke you. Duality. So this is the structure of our world at the present time. This has dominion over our planet because we, human beings, have dominion over our planet. It's where we are. And interestingly, this came up as a little... It was one of the gifts that came in this journey. I had a bigger set of sticks, which I used to carry around. It was heavy. I decided I needed something smaller, and I needed something to build the structure on. I made this. It was sometime after I'd made this that I realized the significance of this, and it is vital in this journey that we are making in this hour. So I'd really ask you to take that in. So, if this is where we are, let's begin with that. Now we know that our consciousness has been changing for quite some time. I'm 67 now, and as Adrian, proving I'm 67, as Adrian mentioned, I started meditating when I was 12. So this was in the 50s. That was very rare. There wasn't anybody around. It was just something that was within me. But I wasn't alone by any stretch of the imagination. Of course, there have been people before me. As our consciousness changes, it becomes less black and white. It becomes multicolored. We begin to see things slightly differently. We don't identify with this position or that one, it becomes more complex. We start to feel things in a different way. But as you can see, as we add more complexity, it's adding additional weight and strain to this old primordial structure. Now, our governance right now is essentially this. But our world is very, very complex. Things change when this could happen. The old becomes redundant, actually. A new structure is formed. And in actual fact, allow me to do this. That structure is very strong. If we take a view on this, we can see that this represents our natural world, completely interconnected. From the tiniest creatures to the greatest mammals, to our rocks, to our earth, to our forests, seas and oceans. All things interconnected, dynamically supporting each other. And the problem is, this structure now holds dominion over this structure. And it's not a good mix. This structure is suffering because of this one. And until this one changes, this one is going to greatly suffer. We will see extinction, we will see global warming, we will see all of those things. And at the moment, because this structure has dominion, nothing changes. And so on this channel, the Ecology and Research channel, it is very, very appropriate to ask, what is deep ecology? And where are we in it? Because if this is the nature of existence on our planet, and this is us, we have very little to do with that, except that we tend to bring difficulty. So, what I want to do now is to take another little twist and turn. If we are the problem, we are also the solution. We know what it is to live this out. The constancy of this and that, good, bad, I like, I don't like. So what I would like to do right now is to explore the development of our own consciousness so that we can actually get a grip on that. Because if the paradigm shift is actually fundamentally with us and within our consciousness, we really have to have some understanding of what it is that we are doing in the constancy of our experience and what and how that might change. And I've been blessed with these structures because they have given me the opportunity to experience that revelation in my own being, in my own undoing, in the journey through my own pain, my own stupidity, my arrogance. But we'll get all to that in a moment. We need to go back to this. I'm going to take this down. Here we are, 3.8 billion years ago, and we're a single cell creature and we now can sense something out there. Now, let us just consider something that is fundamental here, because we say things don't arise out of nowhere. Well, maybe they do. But not out of nowhere. In nowhere. If there is a formlessness, which is everywhere, then things cannot suddenly shunt formlessness away. No. They arise within formlessness. Because formlessness is everywhere. Things need space. Got to have space between things. Therefore, space is a thing necessary for dualistic perception and experience. We're in a very, very lawful universe. First, microparticles arise and immediately take on organization form, which is the very basis of our lives. But all things cannot escape the presence of formlessness. So, here we have our single soul creature, and it starts to experience the other through the avenues of perception. Crude, very, 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 very basic, but nevertheless, yes, it's there. And gradually a process develops over millions of years to where we are today. Let's just take a brief look at that. So firstly, there will be an identification with the other. We know that we exist because we can see or sense or hear, touch, taste another. We're no longer in this unified field, if you would like. We're now in a field of perception. And in that perception, the first thing that actually, without knowing, we are experiencing is separation. Space between us. Separation. We are separate from that. Then we have feeling. Billions of years to develop. The sensing of touch, the response to it. Gradually, the growing of the ability to feel something and have a response to it. And those responses then start to develop. There would be, I sense that. Is that dangerous or not? Am I superior to it or not? Is it irrelevant or not? Is it something I desire? Or is food, or is good for me? Is it something that I don't like? These are all elements that are coming into our sense of separation. As we are much, much further on, much, much further on, we start to conceptualize. Oh, I know that. That tasted good. I'm going to go, yes. That, oh, that was horrible. That bit me, you know. And we start to categorize life. He is not to be trusted. I like her. All of this starts to grow. And that continues in its sophistication. We build it into our civilization. And finally, we start living in a whirlwind of activity where we now are, right, because of that and this and that and that, I have got to do that, and I don't really want to be interrupted by that. Why is... And finally, we end up in this space where we have a constancy of activity, a constancy of mindful activity driven by this sense of separation, of survival, of reproduction. And so we will, in any one moment, feel the power of our judgment and analysis go from what we like to what we dislike. Why? And we have this constancy of mind-based activity. So we have these qualities: strength, weakness, curiosity, endeavor, compassion, love. And like monkeys, we swing from being to being all of the time, all of the time. But the reality is our experience, what we would call perhaps now the process of ego, has no substance apart from a thought about itself. No substance. That is fundamentally a relatively worrying circumstance. That's why many human beings feel so terribly, terribly vulnerable. Even the most powerful, constantly needing more control, more protection, more money, more influence. And we make our dance every day. Now that matters not whether we have an identity of a powerful world leader or a terribly afflicted human being in the worst of circumstances. And in that dance, we miss this. Now, in our dualistic mind, we make a that out of this centerless emptiness. We give it a name. We might call it space. And therefore, the mind knows, yes, I know what space is. Fantastic. And we remain in that same dualistic mind. But actually, the structure really helped me to understand that I was constantly looking at the form of things. But there was something in my consciousness that was saying there was more. And this is where a problem arises. Let us say that this is not space, but this is the formlessness from which all has arisen. We don't have to go very far to read that that is universal intelligence. It is awareness. It is silent, undivided, without form, without shape. All things everywhere. The problem is that if it gives birth to perception, there is no way that our perceptive senses can know it. And that is a bit of a problem for the mind, which relies upon sense perceptions. So herein lies the conundrum that is existent and has been faced by all beings for all time. If we are to embody this, how on earth can we do that when we are already it? It is a conundrum. How can we know it if it is the very thing? Huh? No, it is that which gives rise to our senses, that it is that by which all experience is known. We may identify with the content of experience. I'm happy, I'm sad, I haven't got any money, I've got to pay a bill, I've got to... And we identify with all of that. But what is that by which that experience is known? Now that is an experience which is rare, because we simply spend a lot of our time, most of our time, in this mindful activity. And so therein lies the conundrum, that if our world is to change from the dominion of this dualistic mind, which has its effect upon our profoundly interconnected world, we're facing that which has previously been all but impossible. There have been obviously notable exceptions in our history of those who have embodied that. But right now, because of the nature of the effect that this has now had over our world collectively, we are being invited to make that shift. And that invitation is by the brutal medicine which is currently at play in our world. So therefore, if we can finally understand what it is that we do. And we can understand the nature of the problem that confronts us in the transformation of consciousness. What are we to do? Can we embody this? Why would we want to do that? Let's just explore that a little. Fundamentally, if formlessness permeates all things, it is ever with us. It is that which we arrive into form through. It is that which we die into. People have expressed that when they were in a near-death experience, they experienced a tongue. I would venture to suggest that this is the nature of that vortex. I would also venture to suggest that it is in every cell of our being. It permeates all things, that we are a constant arising of that formlessness into form. It is this activity which imprisons our experience. So if we can find ways of that activity quietening, we might simply experience what is already there. Now, I know in my journey, I'm 12, I'm sitting on my bedroom floor. For some reason, an inner call invites me to start pranayama. I scare myself with some of the exercises that I've read in a tiny, tiny book that has found its way into my mother's cupboard. We don't know how that ever happened. I sit and I put a candle and I start what is a concentration meditation, perhaps, but it wasn't. That was not what was happening, because the flame does not allow you to attach to it. It's constantly moving. And like watching a river, you can never catch the river, which is always moving, and it asks you to accept. And those lessons embedded themselves in me. However, there was something else, which was to do with the structure of ego. I was meditating to get there. I couldn't bear the way the world was. I wanted to get enlightened. I wanted to get, that was my top of the pile, where I would not be touched or affected. Big mistake. A bear trap. Got caught in that one for quite a long time. For many, many years, I thought that everything that I wanted in terms of wisdom, in terms of success in the world, was out there. And I was pushing against a door that would not let me through. I remember asking Dear Ram Dass, with whom I spent some time, why I'd got this wall I couldn't get through in my meditation. And he just delightfully said, well, I guess that all of the enlightened dudes are out there. And completely wiped away my self-aggrandizing question. Finally, through pain, heartbreak, I sat down and I stopped pushing. And in that moment, the door swung inward. I had been pushing against an inward opening door. This is the gateway that we create, our mind activity. When we allow a gap, a discontinuity, just a little, we begin a process. And when we repeatedly give ourselves that experience, the gap gets bigger and bigger. We gain a familiarity with the experience of that formlessness. The content that is housed in these identities that we hold starts to drain away. And this activity starts to quiet. Once that process has begun, it very quickly takes hold. But government health warning. Everything we think we are dies. It all goes. And that's why, historically, we have not done this. We've pushed and pushed and pushed, and we've built our world, our structures, our businesses, because we're not knowing what else to do, and we are terrified of being no thing. I'm very pleased to report today that I am still completely imbued of a body, a mind, a heart, and emotions. But there is no pain. It's all right. It's a good place. But the journey is a warrior's journey. We need courage. We need strength. So, returning to the question of how do we embark upon that journey of no distance? We're not going anywhere. We're already there. Awakening. That is almost a concession to the mind that says, I've done something. But no, it's not that. It's simply an absorption. An absorption in that which has ever been with us, never leaves us, and is not an insubstantial thought or belief. How do we experience that? We experience it as a knowing. It fills our being. It brings happiness into the heart. It brings peace into the mind, simply because this stuff is not going on with all of its complexities. So the question is really, what can we do? How can we prepare the ground that can grow in our experience? I speak as someone who has fallen in, I think, as many bear traps as there are. I have made as many mistakes as I can imagine. I've been unkind, untrue, I've told lies. I have been aggressive, all to protect either me, my family. And each of those has consequence of what gets built into these identities. And therefore, more complexity is built upon it. And so we have to find a way where that can all release. And beautifully, again, this offers that. More technology. Somewhere. Can't even find the technology now. Oh, there we go. I think, yes. Right. Once we have accepted that we are the problem, and we've identified what the nature of the problem is, then we're in a position to meet the reality of this moment and where we are. Now, mainly, we try and avoid that like crazy. Usually this only happens in breakdown rather than in breakthrough. If I have a prayer, it is that we can manage this in breakthrough, which means that we have to attend. We have to attend to what it is that we do, and therefore we need some willingness. I don't know if you can see that willingness to do that. We have to have some openness to receive what is there. Not all of it is going to be pleasant. And we have to have some courage to accept that. We've got to be able to reflect upon that which we see and what we have been bringing into our world. And we have to have some discrimination between that which is true and that which is false. That which is just maintaining distance, maintaining separation, and that which is doing away with it. A warrior is truly a renunciate. What he is renouncing is that which will separate him from this moment in existence. That person before him. And to do that, we need the arising of some compassion. And we really, really do need humor, because we are going to see how ridiculous we are. I love Harry Potter. Ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen this in the films. The charm to turn that which you fear into something. We need trust. In order to release. Because we are not going to be going anywhere that we can know with our sense of perception. These are qualities which help that which has been encapsulated in our process of ego into the identities that we have created. It helps that drain away, and then in our meditation, we begin to expand our experience, because the activity is not as intense, it's quieter. And at some point, and all of this, which is nothing other than formless, quietly returns to source. This is forgiveness. This is redemption. This is a new consciousness embodying itself in our being. And naturally, then, the world around us changes. We're no longer changing the world. We have become the change. We are a cell in the body of world peace. And we rest awake in that knowing. All of our actions are with them, of them, permeated by them. And now we are this. We have become that deep ecology, unified with the world around us, no longer treating it as object, no longer abusing, but working in harmony. Working for all beings. Finally, we inhabit our worth. We inhabit our being. And we are in resonance with all things, respectful of all. So, this has been an overview of my journey with this structure, what it is offered to me and its little friend. And I hope that will help. I hope that offers a vision of of something that can be useful to you. I know that this imprint in my being has, in my darkest times, returned to me and offered me an opening beyond the activity that was so painful. And it would be my wish and prayer that that could be true for you. So, I'm not quite sure. We have about 5 minutes left. And the question is, do we have any questions?
We haven't got anything coming up at the moment. We've got a short video to show from our sponsors. We're actually sponsoring a charity on this channel, which is appropriate, and it's a tree planting charity. So if we show that now, if you have any questions, pop them into the question and answer box, and we'll pop back to Graham just for a quick close and a last few words. So if we can go straight over to Forest for the Future, our sponsor.
Great. Does that mean I can have a
Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's pretty much brought us to the close, actually. We haven't got any questions coming up. I would just urge you, if you want to own this session and the other fantastic sessions that you've been watching, do buy the package. You've got 48 hours left to watch this one for free. So put the word out, and we'll hope to see you at the next session. Graham, thank you very much. I think we've all felt enriched by that. It looked like complete magic at times. And thank you very much. Just unmute yourself. I'm just say a final farewell. Okay, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Thank you all for coming. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.